观众朋友们大家好，今天是6月25号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察。美国国务院发布2019年度反恐形势国别报告，称美国及其盟友在打击国际恐怖组织方面取得了重大进展，不过在国际范围内恐怖主义依然有很严重的威胁。此外，此报告在中国部分批评中国继续以反恐的名义打压维吾尔等少数族裔以及异议人士。我们来看美国之音记者莫宇的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期三在记者会上谈及国务院在当天发布的反恐报告时说，2019年美国及其盟友在反恐上取得重要成果。
We designated the IRGC, including its Quds Force, as a terrorist organization, the first time the authority has ever been used on a foreign government. We kept pressure on Iranian proxies like Hezbollah by encouraging our partners to designate or ban them, as Paraguay, Argentina, and now the United Kingdom did just last year. Last year, too, we held the first of two ministerials focused specifically on counterterrorism in the Western Hemisphere. No administration has forged closer ties in our hemisphere and alliances working on important problems.Like counterterrorism, as we have done. The Defeat ISIS coalition has remained strong. It's completed the destruction of the so-called physical caliphate in Iraq and Syria. And thanks to our great U.S. military, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
蓬佩奥表示，反恐仍有很多工作要做，伊斯兰国还在全球各地活动。他宣布，美国将悬赏金额提高至$10,000,000，奖励提供有关伊斯兰国新头目信息的人士。国务院星期三发布的报告对各国的反恐情况和形势做了评估。在中国部分，报告指中国的反恐仍然难以与中国政府打压其认定为分裂或颠覆的和平活动区别开来。报告说，中国政府的反恐目标仍然针对所谓东突厥斯坦伊斯兰运动的维吾尔极端分子，尽管缺乏证据显示这个所谓的组织仍在活动。报告说，中国共产党以反恐为借口，自2017年4月以来，在新疆将100多万维吾尔和其他穆斯林少数族裔关进拘禁营，并制定了新的法律指导意见和采用新的执法工具对新疆加强监视，包括高科技监控、DNA 信息采集、中共官员入住维吾尔人家里。国务院的报告说，中国对恐怖主义和极端主义的广泛定义以及对网络恐怖主义的定义不明确，继续引发严重的人权担忧。报告指，中国当局利用高科技抓捕罪犯的人脸识别等手段，也被用于监控和控制国内异议人士和少数民族和宗教人士，并继续以国内外网络恐怖主义威胁为借口，收紧对互联网和移动通讯的管控与审查。报告还认为，香港当局错误地将支持民主人权的抗议行为描述为恐怖主义。中国政府在香港的发言人错误地将抗议者的行为形容为出现恐怖主义苗头。在反恐合作方面，国务院的报告说，中国政府继续推动将联合国作为国际反恐合作的主要平台，并借这个平台积极推动压制性的反恐方式。美国之音莫宇，华盛顿报道。
美国总统特朗普星期二造访亚利桑那州，视察与墨西哥之间的边境墙，并且在他的竞选演说中强调他的移民政策成就。
特朗普总统视察并且在位于亚利桑那州尤马郡的一段边境墙上签名，借此纪念特朗普政府所说的已经建造了322公里的西南边境墙。
This is the most powerful and comprehensive border wall structure anywhere in the world. It's got technology that nobody would even believe between sensors and cameras and everything else.
特朗普政府打算在今年底之前建造725公里的边境墙。根据海关与边境保卫局，大部分已经完成了的边境墙取代了现存的旧栅栏系统。在本星期早些时候，特朗普总统签署了一份行政命令，暂停某些工作签证，直到今年底，包括提供给科技业的 H-1B 签证。当局表示，这份命令将帮助在疫情下寻找工作的美国人。不过，包括亚马逊跟谷歌在内的科技公司表示反对，这些公司每年需要数以千计的高技能外国劳工。
Some of those skills may not be easily duplicated by workers already here. I think there's a view that, you know, sort of one tech worker is like another tech worker, but there's a lot of very specific skills, particularly in these sort of, you know, bleeding edge technologies like artificial intelligence, which you just cannot, you know, put an ad in the paper and there's going to be 20 people at your door who can do that job.
这份行政命令可能影响数以千计的外国劳工，包括大部分提供给非季节性农业劳工的 H-2B 签证，以及其他几种提供给在美国境外而且没有签证的人。
J visas, which include au pairs, foreign exchange students, visiting scholars and researchers, and even foreign physicians, and also L visas, which are intra-company transfer visas for business executives, managers, and people with specialized knowledge.
特朗普总统在奥克拉荷马州的塔尔萨市进行了疫情开始之后的第一次造势集会，参加的人数比预期的少。在参访边境墙的时候，特朗普总统试图重振他的基本盘，强调他的关键竞选承诺在移民问题上的强力立场。
It seems to be part of a kind of a broader economic philosophy and a political philosophy that immigration.Is bad for America, and to the extent that these Republican policymakers, including the president, think that's what their base wants, they're trying to give it to them.
总统以学生支持特朗普活动结束了亚利桑那州之行。他在活动上进行了选举式的演说。
But the radical left, they hate our history, they hate our values, and they hate everything we prize as Americans, and we're right.Because our country didn't grow great with them. It grew great with you and your thought process and your ideology.
亚利桑那州传统上被视为共和党总统候选人的安全地带，不过因为十一月大选的结果如此难以预测，现在也成为选举的战场州。美国之音白宫记者维达库斯瓦拉报道。
美国国会正在研究修改外国主权豁免法，为美国公民在新冠疫情中遭受的伤害和损失打开追究中国责任的法律之门。有关详情，我们请美国之音国会记者李怡华为我们介绍。
参议院司法委员会星期二召开听证会，讨论美国国会是否应该修改外国主权豁免法，允许美国法院起诉中国，并且追究中国在处理新冠病毒疫情过程当中所应该负的责任。参议院司法委员会主席格雷厄姆参议员在听证会一开始就提到，美国现在所需要的就是找出新的工具来解决沉积已久的老问题。我们来听听格雷厄姆参议员在听证会上怎么说。
Over 120,000 people have died. 40 million people have lost their job. And it's been a nightmare for our country and the world at large. We've used the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act in the past, amended it in the past, to go after people who have done harm to Americans and represent a threat to our way of life. I think the Chinese Communist Party, given their behavior over a long period of time,We should consider whether or not new tools are necessary to change behavior.
美国国会两党议员对于如何评价美国处理疫情的方式仍然有许多的分歧，不过民主共和两党都对于中国在疫情爆发初期的处理方式感到相当的不满。截至目前为止，美国一共有两个州代表当地的州居民向中国提出了法律诉讼，包括了密苏里州和密西西比州。除此之外，还有多个州也已经向中国提出了集体诉讼。不过有法律专家认为，美国国会推动修改外国主权豁免法的做法和计划对于美国并没有办法带来实质上的帮助。我们继续来听听国际法专家在星期二的听证会上怎么说。
The United States has the most to lose in removing sovereign immunity for a pandemic. The principle of foreign state immunity does not absolve any country from legal responsibility for its wrongdoing, and that's an essential point to emphasize.It also does not prevent the United States from imposing serious consequences on foreign countries for violating our mutual obligations. It does not compel, let alone countenance, a quote-unquote diplomatic blind eye, as the Attorney General called it. What it does prevent is non-consensual litigation against one country in another country's courts. Instead, we do resolve disputes through diplomacy, including coercive diplomatic measures,and in international tribunals whose jurisdiction is based on consent. Because of our unparalleled global footprint, the United States has the most to lose from weakened immunity rules.
目前还不清楚国会两党议员是否能够达成共识修改外国主权豁免法，不过格雷厄姆参议员在星期二的听证会上提到，他希望能够尽快的召开会议推进外国主权豁免法的修正条文。以上是美国之音记者李一华发自国会山的采访报道。
美国卫生官员对美国国会表示，全美现在应对新冠疫情的做法有所改善，尽管有26个州报告的新增病例数有所增加。此外，病毒的检测数量也成为了政治辩论的焦点。
加利福尼亚、亚利桑那和德克萨斯州出现了新冠高发地点，同时美国其他地区，例如纽约这家理发店重新开放了。特朗普总统说，当他对支持者说他要放慢检测速度时，他是认真的，因为发现了更多的新冠病例。
I don't kid. Let me just tell you. Let me make it clear. We have got the greatest testing program anywhere in the world. We test better than anybody in the world. Our tests are the best in the world, and we have the most of them. By having more tests, we find more cases.
白宫后来撤回了这些评论。新冠病毒特别工作组的专家安东尼·福契医生告诉国会议员，情况并非如此。
But to my knowledge, none of us have ever been told to slow down on testing. That just is a fact. In fact, we will be doing more testing.
尽管有美国其他高级官员的支持，但民主党人仍然对行政当局的反应感到关切。
We're still falling far short of the 900,000 daily tests public health experts believe we need. We're also hampered by the administration's refusal to develop and implement a national testing and contact tracing strategy.
该策略可以弥补这个差距，直到开发出疫苗为止。福奇医生说，随着下个月开始的第一批疫苗试验，他保持谨慎乐观的态度。
We will be able to make them available to the American public.Which would put us at the end of this calendar year and the beginning of 2021.
尽管美国有法律禁止在美国法院诉讼其他国家，但国会议员还是考虑不同方式来惩罚中国对病毒的反应。
And why would we take this unprecedented step? This is the third pandemic to come out of China. We also know that China failed to inform the world about the nature of the virus.That they restricted travel into China, but allowed Chinese citizens to travel throughout the world. They knew it was human-to-human transmission, and they failed to adequately inform the WHO, in my view, and the world at large.
美国目前在新冠病毒感染方面居世界之首，迄今已超过230万例，死亡人数超过了12万。美国之音记者吉普森华盛顿报道。
统计模型是预测新冠病毒发展轨迹的重要方法，不过就像数据和算法一样，虽然都是科学，但是常常也并不完美。
在冠状病毒大流行早期，伦敦帝国学院设立的一种预测模式表明，到8月份英国可能有约50万人死亡。对于美国而言，统计模型的预测甚至更令人震惊。预测显示，除非政府采取迅速行动，否则将造成约200万人感染和死亡。到目前为止，显然实际数量要少得多。其实这种特定的模型只是假设在政府不采取任何行动时，疫情中的感染或死亡人数的理论方法。这是一种简单的工具，但是流行病学家可以使用模型来预测各种事态的发生。
I hope it's clear that that's a very simplistic version of what's actually happening. So then we might want to make things a bit more complicated, and we might want to, let's say we're really interested.In not just how many people get infected, but we're interested in understanding how many people end up in hospital, because we want to know about the pressure on the healthcare system.
这些模型中的主要变量是隔离措施。在实施封锁之前和之后，科学家使用新的疫情数据来微调他们的模型。模型可以帮助识别所谓的基本传染数，这一变量确定了一个患者在整个感染期间直接传染的平均人数，如果大于一，则感染的人数则呈指数增长。
When we started, so that was again in February, March, most of the models that were being developed then and we knew about, they were using previous outbreaks in order to formulate their forecasts and predictions. And what we figured out is how we can use the current epidemic itself.
但是这一模型的主要挑战是缺乏有关感染新冠病毒人数的真实数据，尤其是因为许多人似乎没有症状。华盛顿大学的科学家通过创建新的模型来解决这个问题。新模型不计算受感染人数，而是计算死亡人数。
We knew early on that we don't have enough testing, so we didn't know how many people are infected. And in order to be on the safe side, we decided that we start modeling once we have 50 deaths per location, so per country. And the reason we felt there'll be more stability on deaths.We're modeling a slope of increase, so that's a beta, it goes up or down.
长期以来，这种模式一直是最乐观的，直到五月初死亡人数激增。如今，科学家预测到八月初将有14万人死亡，是早期预测的一倍。这个数量的变化与隔离措施的放松有关。
When you start seeing increase in mobility, 2 weeks later you will see an increase in spreading of the virus.1 week later, which is 3 weeks, you would see impact on mortality.
数十种不同的模型使用多种算法，但是他们都有一个共同点，那就是警告不要过早、过快取消隔离措施。美国之音迭戈茨，华盛顿报道。
华盛顿特区进入了经济重启的第二阶段，关闭了3个多月的餐厅现在可以重新开放堂食，这是否会为小商业带来转机？他们对未来又有哪些担忧？我们一起去了解一下。
本周华盛顿特区进入第二阶段经济重启，但昔日热闹的中国城仍然异常冷清，大多数商业大门紧闭。这家越南面馆是仅有的几家重新营业并开放堂食的餐厅之一。
I just miss going out and like sitting in restaurants and stuff and being with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you feel safe going out to restaurants?
Yeah, most of the time I do.
Mm-hmm. Because they take a lot of like safety precautions, and especially if like everyone's wearing a mask, it just feels like it's, I mean, not like completely safe, but you know that people are still trying to stay healthy.
每天光顾餐厅的客人仍然屈指可数，曾经生意兴隆的餐厅今年遭遇疫情的沉重打击。
我一月份接过来，一月份还行，而生意都一直还维持跟他原来差不多的规模，但是自从二月份开始传出疫情之后呢，生意一路下滑，然后呢三月份几乎就是门可罗雀，所以我们在3月10号我们就宣布那个暂时先关门。上个礼拜我们才重新开了又开上一个礼拜，这一礼拜也是非常惨，我们每天大概只有100-200块营业额，跟以前简直是不能比了。
以前有这个，
以前每天都要3-4千以上，3-4千，现在100-200。
算上店面租金、员工薪水和各种税费，陈女士近几个月每月亏损数万美元。让她更加担心的是，一旦人们外出就餐的习惯发生改变，生意复苏的希望会更加渺茫。
都不想再暴露在公共的场所里面，尤其说密闭的场合啊，像这种密闭场所他们就担心，所以不愿意坐在这吃。其实我们都很注意的啦，一直擦一直弄啊，一直消毒啊，只要客人走马上喷啊弄啊，然后我们也是很注意环境卫生，整天打扫，还是很难，这心理压力太大了。
陈女士说，在几周前与抗议警察暴力游行同时发生的暴力活动中，中国城多家店面被破坏。虽然她并没有遭遇损失，但紧张的氛围让招揽顾客难上加难。为了适应疫情等因素造成的影响，陈女士也调整了经营策略。
我们现在调整就是说，我们只能加强宣传哈，就变成说要 focus 在这个 to go 跟 deliver， 我们要外送外卖。
雇佣送餐员、接线员将给陈女士带来额外的支出，但在保持6尺社交距离已经成为新常态的今天，
中餐厅大多选择这种保守的方式。全美餐饮业逐步开放，但各州对顾客人数、餐厅卫生状况等方面进行严格规定。大华府地区的疫情目前趋于稳定，但由于担忧重启后疫情卷土重来，商家仍然保持谨慎。在华盛顿近郊，金女士的四川菜馆在四月关闭两周重开后，至今仍然只提供外卖和送餐服务。
因为现在政府也说可以开50%嘛，但堂吃我们也担心这个问题，我们也没堂吃也没有开嘛，所以的话也就想这个堂吃不开就最好，因为这个堂吃一开的话你也不知道发生什么情况，如果一旦就是说有谁被感染的话，有这个问题的话，整个餐馆可能就是面临着关闭了，
所以还是比较保险、
所以的话对我们就是说还是比较保守一点。
目前青女士的餐厅营收大约是疫情开始前的一半，虽然资金上感到压力，但他仍然相信餐厅可以渡过难关。
有些老客人，就是我们的这里面工作人员说，哎，你们多少人上班啊？有些都发，给我们发 tips， 对他们就说啊，我们要支持你，就发一点钱嘛，就是这样。所以的话，还是蛮感动的。
小商业在疫情中调整策略，困境求生，许多顾客也希望。在疫情结束的那一天，曾经熟悉的美味不要随疫情一起消失。美国之音王平卡拉首都华盛顿报道。
尽管美国的各个州正在逐渐重启经济，但是时装零售商们依然面临巨大的挑战，因为他们无法再出售搁置了几个月的商品。
路透社说，2020年春季，数百家时装零售店面临着灾难性的现实，销售额下降了90%。专家说，在线销售也无法弥补收入的损失，但是一些小型商店正在寻找一些创新的方式，已成为业内闪光点。
We're a little bit of a different fashion retailer. We hold on to our inventory a lot longer than, you know, the big chains do, because our products are special, exclusive. Sometimes it takes us a year or more to sell through the inventory on an item.
We kind of exist outside of what you think of as fashion.It's not what we do. We sell apparel, we sell clothes, and most of what we sell, you could have worn it 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
目前还不清楚时装零售店何时可以恢复到疫情的水平。在逐渐开放的州，每天都有更多的商店恢复营业，但同时要对顾客限量以及强制测量体温。在许多家店，试衣间仍不开放。
It's nervous optimism. You know, we'reopening for curbside. We don't know what that means necessarily, if everybody's just going to start calling in immediately, but we're excited because it shows that progress is happening.
专家说，当大多数时尚零售店重新营业时，他们将有大笔交易，不仅是在线销售，而且还有实体店的销售。美国之音巴佛拉德兹安华盛顿报道。
由乔治·弗洛伊德之死而引发的大规模示威还在持续，而示威者们现在开始破坏美国南方邦联人物的雕像。
在维吉尼亚州里士满的这次示威活动中，抗议者要求拆除一些南北战争时期支持美国邦联和保护奴隶制的人物雕塑。
The fact that it's been over almost 200 years since the end of slavery.And we're still dealing with racism, we're still dealing with police brutality, we're still dealing with unequal treatment. And these Confederate monuments are symbols to the past, and it's symbols to a made-up past. Because, you know, the monuments are basically the physical representation of the myth of the Old South.
萨拉比瑟姆教授说，在1880年和1890年之间，美国南部开始树立起很多纪念雕像。
Almost every southern county has a Confederate monument on the courthouse lawn. When you think about the history of lynching, that's the place where often a victim is kidnapped from, or where a sham trial takes place before a terrible event occurs to that person. And so these monuments become really indelibly linked with that. And it's really hard not to see them as anything other than these really state-sponsored signs of white supremacy.
在首都华盛顿，欢呼雀跃的示威者中，一些人用力推翻了这座3.4米高的邦联将军艾伯特·派克雕像， 当地警察站在附近观看。星期天，在北卡罗来纳州拉利市，当局收拾了抗议者星期五留下的残局，将那个邦联雕像从基座上拆除时，人们为之欢呼。在乔治亚州的迪凯特，活动人士欢呼雀跃，他们说十方尖碑表示对白人至上的致敬，因此一位法官下令拆除。
It's a people's victory. All of our young people from Decatur High School, they made this happen. All of these organizers, everybody came together.
上周末，在美国奥克拉荷马的一次集会上，美国总统特朗普谈到了拆除南方邦联士兵的雕像并污损了纪念碑的活动分子。
The unhinged left-wing mob is trying to vandalize our history, desecrate our monuments, our beautiful monuments.
上周四，来自密苏里州的共和党国会参议员罗伊·布朗特阻止参议院通过民主党参议员科里·布克和查尔斯·舒默提出的从美国国会大厦撤走邦联雕像的提案。
The continued presence of these statues in the halls is an affront to African Americans.And the ideals of our nation.
但是布朗特表示反对，他指出国会已经与各州达成协议，并且他希望留时间考虑在他主持的规则委员会举行听证会。
I think that today's action would violate our agreements with the state.
美国国会大厦雕像大厅收藏的人物雕像当中，至少有12座是纪念在1860年代美国南北战争期间效忠南方邦联的人物。美国之音迪亚洛报道。
新冠病毒大流行的新常态中，视频会议已经独领风骚，不过人们依然可能受到干扰。在这个时候，虚拟现实技术提供了另外一种选择。
如果你曾经参加过这样的电话会议，你可能有过人们同时发言的经历。然后呢，还有这种情况。
If someone's dog comes into it or someone stops paying attention,
那么你可能会错过别人在说什么。瑞安·奥滕斯上的虚拟现实，也就是 VR 在线商务课，消除了视频电话会议打岔分神的困扰。
I can't see my phone. I can't see an email pop up. So I'm fully focused on a great learning environment.
帕格尼虚拟现实公司通过他们的奇美拉项目，创造出奥斯腾在坦普大学课堂上的虚拟现实经验。学生以化身出现在虚拟课堂，而老师则化身或以直播或预录的真人录像出现。
This still gets the feeling of.Being a community, our sound is positional. So if that person spoke and they were to my left, I knew to look to the left and I would see them.
随着虚拟现实硬件的改进，手机和手持控制器得以通过摄像头和传感器追踪头部和手部的动作。当参与者的手在现实世界中移动，他们化身的手也会跟着动作。随着需求的增加，最大的挑战是要在大流行病的封锁期间买到虚拟现实耳机。随着工厂重新开始生产耳机
，hardware availability a lot of it is where the hardware is manufactured. So a point being made that a lot of this is coming from China.
奥滕斯警告说，任何想要尝试虚拟现实会议的人，每次沉浸在沉重的耳机里的时间都不应超过1小时。
Usually the dizziness and headaches would start towards the last 5 to 10 minutes. I could tell.It was right around the time. It was almost like my body's like I'm done.
虚拟现实的其他应用包括礼拜仪式和娱乐活动。美国之音记者李爱琳报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 今天是6月25号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国务院发布2019年度反恐形势国别报告，称美国及其盟友在打击国际恐怖组织方面取得了重大进展。不过，在国际范围内，恐怖主义依然有很严重的威胁。此外，此报告在中国部分批评中国继续以反恐的名义打压维吾尔等少数族裔以及异议人士。我们来看美国之音记者莫宇的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期三在记者会上谈及国务院在当天发布的反恐报告时说，2019年美国及其盟友在反恐上取得重要成果。
We designated the IRGC, including its Quds Force, as a terrorist organization, the first time the authority has ever been used on a foreign government. We kept pressure on Iranian proxies like Hezbollah by encouraging our partners to designate or ban them, as Paraguay, Argentina, and now the United Kingdom did just last year. Last year, too, we held the first of two ministerials focused specifically on counterterrorism in the Western Hemisphere. No administration has forged closer ties in our hemisphere and alliances working on important problems.Like counterterrorism, as we have done. The Defeat ISIS coalition has remained strong. It's completed the destruction of the so-called physical caliphate in Iraq and Syria. And thanks to our great U.S. military, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
蓬佩奥表示，反恐仍有很多工作要做，伊斯兰国还在全球各地活动。他宣布，美国将悬赏金额提高至$10,000,000，奖励提供有关伊斯兰国新头目信息的人士。国务院星期三发布的报告对各国的反恐情况和形势做了评估。在中国部分，报告指中国的反恐仍然难以与中国政府打压其认定为分裂或颠覆的和平活动区别开来。报告说，中国政府的反恐目标仍然针对所谓东突厥斯坦伊斯兰运动的维吾尔极端分子，尽管缺乏证据显示这个所谓的组织仍在活动。报告说，中国共产党以反恐为借口，自2017年4月以来，在新疆将100多万维吾尔和其他穆斯林少数族裔关进拘禁营，并制定了新的法律指导意见和采用新的执法工具对新疆加强监视，包括高科技监控、DNA 信息采集、中共官员入住维吾尔人家里。国务院的报告说，中国对恐怖主义和极端主义的广泛定义以及对网络恐怖主义的定义不明确，继续引发严重的人权担忧。报告指，中国当局利用高科技抓捕罪犯的人脸识别等手段，也被用于监控和控制国内异议人士和少数民族和宗教人士，并继续以国内外网络恐怖主义威胁为借口，收紧对互联网和移动通讯的管控与审查。报告还认为，香港当局错误地将支持民主人权的抗议行为描述为恐怖主义。中国政府在香港的发言人错误地将抗议者的行为形容为出现恐怖主义苗头。在反恐合作方面，国务院的报告说，中国政府继续推动将联合国作为国际反恐合作的主要平台，并借这个平台积极推动压制性的反恐方式。美国之音莫宇，华盛顿报道。
美国总统特朗普星期二造访亚利桑那州，视察与墨西哥之间的边境墙，并且在他的竞选演说中强调他的移民政策成就。
特朗普总统视察并且在位于亚利桑那州尤马郡的一段边境墙上签名，借此纪念特朗普政府所说的已经建造了322公里的西南边境墙。
This is the most powerful and comprehensive border wall structure anywhere in the world. It's got technology that nobody would even believe between sensors and cameras and everything else.
特朗普政府打算在今年底之前建造725公里的边境墙。根据海关与边境保卫局，大部分已经完成了的边境墙取代了现存的旧栅栏系统。在本星期早些时候，特朗普总统签署了一份行政命令，暂停某些工作签证直到今年底，包括提供给科技业的 H-1B 签证。当局表示，这份命令将帮助在疫情下寻找工作的美国人。不过，包括亚马逊跟谷歌在内的科技公司表示反对。这些公司每年需要数以千计的高技能外国劳工。
Some of those skills may not be easily duplicated by workers already here. I think there's a view that, you know, sort of one tech worker is like another tech worker, but there's a lot of very specific skills, particularly in these sort of, you know, bleeding edge technologies like artificial intelligence, which you just cannot, you know, put an ad in the paper. There's going to be 20 people at your door who can do that job.
这份行政命令可能影响数以千计的外国劳工，包括大部分提供给非季节性农业劳工的 H-2B 签证，以及其他几种提供给在美国境外而且没有签证的人。
J visas, which include au pairs, foreign exchange students, visiting scholars and researchers, and even foreign physicians, and also L visas, which are intra-company transfer visas for business executives, managers, and people with specialized knowledge.
特朗普总统在奥克拉荷马州的塔尔萨市进行了疫情开始之后的第一次造势集会，参加的人数比预期的少。在参访边境墙的时候，特朗普总统试图重振他的基本盘，强调他的关键竞选承诺在移民问题上的强力立场。
It seems to be part of a kind of a broader economic philosophy and a political philosophy that immigration.Is bad for America, and to the extent that these Republican policymakers, including the president, think that's what their base wants, they're trying to give it to them.
总统以学生支持特朗普活动结束了亚利桑那州之行。他在活动上进行了选举式的演说。
But the radical left, they hate our history, they hate our values, and they hate everything we prize as Americans, and we're right.Because our country didn't grow great with them. It grew great with you and your thought process and your ideology.
亚利桑那州传统上被视为共和党总统候选人的安全地带，不过因为11月大选的结果如此难以预测，现在也成为选举的战场州。美国之音白宫记者维达库斯瓦拉报道。
美国国会正在研究修改外国主权豁免法，为美国公民在新冠疫情中遭受的伤害和损失打开追究中国责任的法律之门。有关详情，我们请美国之音国会记者李怡华为我们介绍。
参议院司法委员会星期二召开听证会，讨论美国国会是否应该修改外国主权豁免法，允许美国法院起诉中国，并且追究中国在处理新冠病毒疫情过程当中所应该负的责任。参议院司法委员会主席格雷厄姆参议员在听证会一开始就提到，美国现在所需要的就是找出新的工具来解决沉积已久的老问题。我们来听听格雷厄姆参议员在听证会上怎么说。
Over 120,000 people have died. 40 million people have lost their job. And it's been a nightmare for our country and the world at large. We've used the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act in the past, amended it in the past, to go after people who've done harm to Americans and represent a threat to our way of life. I think the Chinese Communist Party, given their behavior over a long period of time,We should consider whether or not new tools are necessary to change behavior.
美国国会两党议员对于如何评价美国处理疫情的方式仍然有许多的分歧。不过，民主共和两党都对于中国在疫情爆发初期的处理方式感到相当的不满。截至目前为止，美国一共有两个州代表当地的州居民向中国提出了法律诉讼，包括了密苏里州和密西西比州。除此之外，还有多个州也已经向中国提出了集体诉讼。不过，有法律专家认为，美国国会推动修改外国主权豁免法的做法和计划对于美国并没有办法带来实质上的帮助。我们继续来听听国际法专家在星期二的听证会上怎么说。
The United States has the most to lose in removing sovereign immunity for a pandemic. The principle of foreign state immunity does not absolve any country from legal responsibility for its wrongdoing, and that's an essential point to emphasize.It also does not prevent the United States from imposing serious consequences on foreign countries for violating our mutual obligations. It does not compel, let alone countenance, a quote-unquote diplomatic blind eye, as the Attorney General called it. What it does prevent is non-consensual litigation against one country in another country's courts. Instead, we do resolve disputes through diplomacy, including coercive diplomatic measures,and in international tribunals whose jurisdiction is based on consent. Because of our unparalleled global footprint, the United States has the most to lose from weakened immunity rules.
目前还不清楚国会两党议员是否能够达成共识修改外国主权豁免法，不过格雷厄姆参议员在星期二的听证会上提到，他希望能够尽快的召开会议推进外国主权豁免法的修正条文。以上是美国之音记者李一华发自国会山的采访报道。
美国卫生官员对美国国会表示，全美现在应对新冠疫情的做法有所改善，尽管有26个州报告的新增病例数有所增加。此外，病毒的检测数量也成为了政治辩论的焦点。
加利福尼亚、亚利桑那和德克萨斯州出现了新冠高发地点，同时美国其他地区，例如纽约这家理发店重新开放了。特朗普总统说，当他对支持者说他要放慢检测速度时，他是认真的，因为发现了更多的新冠病例。
I don't kid. Let me just tell you. Let me make it clear. We have got the greatest testing program anywhere in the world. We test better than anybody in the world. Our tests are the best in the world, and we have the most of them. By having more tests, we find more cases.
白宫后来撤回了这些评论。新冠病毒特别工作组的专家安东尼·福契医生告诉国会议员，情况并非如此。
But to my knowledge, none of us have ever been told to slow down on testing. That just is a fact. In fact, we will be doing more testing.
尽管有美国其他高级官员的支持，但民主党人仍然对行政当局的反应感到关切。
We're still falling far short of the 900,000 daily tests public health experts believe we need. We're also hampered by the administration's refusal to develop and implement a national testing and contact tracing strategy.
该策略可以弥补这个差距，直到开发出疫苗为止。福契医生说，随着下个月开始的第一批疫苗试验，他保持谨慎乐观的态度。
We will be able to make them available to the American public.Which would put us at the end of this calendar year and the beginning of 2021.
尽管美国有法律禁止在美国法院诉讼其他国家，但国会议员还是考虑不同方式来惩罚中国对病毒的反应。
And why would we take this unprecedented step? This is the third pandemic to come out of China. We also know that China failed to inform the world about the nature of the virus.That they restricted travel into China, but allowed Chinese citizens to travel throughout the world. They knew it was human-to-human transmission, and they failed to adequately inform the WHO, in my view, and the world at large.
美国目前在新冠病毒感染方面居世界之首，迄今已超过230万例，死亡人数超过了12万。美国之音记者吉普森华盛顿报道。
统计模型是预测新冠病毒发展轨迹的重要方法，不过就像数据和算法一样，虽然都是科学，但是常常也并不完美。
在冠状病毒大流行早期，伦敦帝国学院设立的一种预测模式表明，到8月份英国可能有约50万人死亡。对于美国而言，统计模型的预测甚至更令人震惊。预测显示，除非政府采取迅速行动，否则将造成约200万人感染和死亡。到目前为止，显然实际数量要少得多。其实这种特定的模型只是假设在政府不采取任何行动时，疫情中的感染或死亡人数的理论方法。这是一种简单的工具，但是流行病学家可以使用模型来预测各种事态的发生。
I hope it's clear that that's a very simplistic version of what's actually happening. So then we might want to make things a bit more complicated, and we might want to, let's say we're really interested in...Not just how many people get infected, but we're interested in understanding how many people end up in hospital, because we want to know about the pressure on the healthcare system.
这些模型中的主要变量是隔离措施。在实施封锁之前和之后，科学家使用新的疫情数据来微调他们的模型。模型可以帮助识别所谓的基本传染数，这一变量确定了一个患者在整个感染期间直接传染的平均人数。如果大于一，则感染的人数则呈指数增长。
When we started, so that was again in February, March, most of the models that were being developed then and we knew about, they were using previous outbreaks in order to formulate their forecasts and predictions. And what we figured out is how we can use the current epidemic itself.
但是这一模型的主要挑战是缺乏有关感染新冠病毒人数的真实数据，尤其是因为许多人似乎没有症状。华盛顿大学的科学家通过创建新的模型来解决这个问题。新模型不计算受感染人数，而是计算死亡人数。
We knew early on that we don't have enough testing, so we didn't know how many people are infected. And in order to be on the safe side, we decided that we start modeling once we have 50 deaths per location, so per country. And the reason we felt there'll be more stability on deaths.We're modeling a slope of increase, so that's a beta, it goes up or down.
长期以来，这种模式一直是最乐观的，直到五月初死亡人数激增。如今，科学家预测到八月初将有14万人死亡，是早期预测的一倍。这个数量的变化与隔离措施的放松有关。
When you start seeing increase in mobility, 2 weeks later, you will see an increase in spreading of the virus.1 week later, which is 3 weeks, you would see impact on mortality.
数十种不同的模型使用多种算法，但是他们都有一个共同点，那就是警告不要过早、过快取消隔离措施。美国之音迭戈茨，华盛顿报道。
华盛顿特区进入了经济重启的第二阶段，关闭了3个多月的餐厅现在可以重新开放堂食，这是否会为小商业带来转机？他们对未来又有哪些担忧？我们一起去了解一下。
本周华盛顿特区进入第二阶段经济重启，但昔日热闹的中国城仍然异常冷清，大多数商业大门紧闭。这家越南面馆是仅有的几家重新营业并开放堂食的餐厅之一。
I just miss going out and like sitting in restaurants and stuff and being with people.
Okay. And do you feel safe going out to restaurants?
Yeah, most of the time I do. Mm-hmm.
Because they take a lot of like safety precautions, and especially if like everyone's wearing a mask, it just feels like it's, I mean, not like completely safe, but you know that people are still trying to stay healthy.
每天光顾餐厅的客人仍然屈指可数，曾经生意兴隆的餐厅今年遭遇疫情的沉重打击。
我1月份接过来，1月份还行，而生意都一直还维持跟他原来差不多的规模，但是自从2月份开始传出疫情之后呢，生意一路下滑，然后呢3月份几乎就是门可罗雀，所以我们在3月10号我们就宣布那个暂时先关门。上个礼拜我们才重新开了，又开上一个礼拜，这一礼拜也是非常惨。我们每天大概就100-200块营业额，跟以前简直是不能比的。
以前有这个有，
以前每天都要3-4千以上，3-4千，现在100-200。
算上店面租金、员工薪水和各种税费，陈女士近几个月每月亏损数万美元。让他更加担心的是，一旦人们外出就餐的习惯发生改变，生意复苏的希望会更加渺茫。
都不想再暴露在公共的场所里面，尤其说密闭的场合啊，像这种密闭场所，他们就担心，所以不愿意坐在这吃。其实我们都很注意的啦，一直擦，一直弄啊，一直消毒啊，只要客人一走，马上喷啊，弄啊，然后我们也是很注意环境卫生，整天打扫，还是很难，这心理压力太大。
陈女士说，在几周前与抗议警察暴力游行同时发生的暴力活动中，中国城多家店面被破坏。虽然她并没有遭遇损失，但紧张的氛围让招揽顾客难上加难。为了适应疫情等因素造成的影响，陈女士也调整了经营策略。
我们现在调整就是说，我们只能加强宣传哈，就变成说要 focus 在这个 to go 跟 deliver， 我们要外送外卖。
雇佣送餐员、接线员将给陈女士带来额外的支出，但在保持6尺社交距离已经成为新常态的今天，中餐厅大多选择这种保守的方式。全美餐饮业逐步开放，但各州对顾客人数、餐厅卫生状况等方面进行严格规定， 大华府地区的疫情目前趋于稳定，但由于担忧重启后疫情卷土重来，商家仍然保持谨慎。在华盛顿近郊，金女士的四川菜馆在四月关闭两周重开后，至今仍然只提供外卖和送餐服务。
因为现在政府也说可以开50%嘛，但堂吃我们也担心这个问题，我们也没堂吃也没有开嘛，所以的话也就想这个堂吃不开就最好，因为这个堂吃一开的话你也不知道发生什么情况，如果一旦就是说有谁被感染的话，有这个问题的话，整个餐馆可能就是面临着关闭了，
所以还是比较保险、
所以的话，对，我们就是说还是比较保守一点。
目前青女士的餐厅营收大约是疫情开始前的一半，虽然资金上感到压力，但她仍然相信餐厅可以渡过难关。
有些老客人，就是我们的这里面工作人员说，哎，你们多少人上班啊？有些都发，给我们发 tips。对，他们就说啊，我们要支持你，就发一点钱嘛，就是这样。所以的话还是蛮感动的。
小商业在疫情中调整策略，困境求生。许多顾客也希望在疫情结束的那一天，曾经熟悉的美味不要随疫情一起消失。美国之音王平卡拉首都华盛顿报道。
尽管美国的各个州正在逐渐重启经济，但是时装零售商们依然面临巨大的挑战，因为他们无法再出售搁置了几个月的商品。
路透社说，2020年春季，数百家时装零售店面临着灾难性的现实，销售额下降了90%。专家说，在线销售也无法弥补收入的损失，但是一些小型商店正在寻找一些创新的方式，已成为业内闪光点。
We're a little bit of a different fashion retailer. We hold on to our inventory a lot longer than, you know, the big chains do, because our products are special, exclusive. Sometimes it takes us a year or more to sell through the inventory on an item.
We kind of exist outside of what you think of as fashion. It's not what we do. We sell apparel, we sell clothes, and most of what we sell, you could have worn it 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
目前还不清楚时装零售店何时可以恢复到疫情的水平。在逐渐开放的州，每天都有更多的商店恢复营业，但同时要对顾客限量以及强制测量体温。在许多家店，试衣间仍不开放。
It's nervous optimism. You know, we're opening for curbside. We don't know what that means necessarily if everybody's just going to start calling in immediately. But we're excited because it shows that progress is happening.
专家说，当大多数时尚零售店重新营业时，他们将有大笔交易，不仅是在线销售，而且还有实体店的销售。美国之音巴佛拉德兹安华盛顿报道。
由乔治·弗洛伊德之死而引发的大规模示威还在持续，而示威者们现在开始破坏美国南方邦联人物的雕像。
在维吉尼亚州里士满的这次示威活动中，抗议者要求拆除一些南北战争时期支持美国邦联和保护奴隶制的人物雕塑。
The fact that it's been over almost 200 years since the end of slavery, and we're still dealing with racism, we're still dealing with police brutality, we're still dealing with unequal treatment, and these Confederate monuments are symbols to the past, and it's symbols to a made-up past.Because, you know, the monuments are basically the physical representation of the myth of the Old South.
萨拉比瑟姆教授说，在1880年和1890年之间，美国南部开始树立起很多纪念雕像。
Almost every southern county has a Confederate monument on the courthouse lawn. When you think about the history of lynching, that's the place where often a victim is kidnapped from.Or where a sham trial takes place before a terrible...event occurs to that person. And so these monuments become really indelibly linked with that. And it's really hard not to see them as anything other than these really state-sponsored signs of white supremacy.
在首都华盛顿，欢呼雀跃的示威者中，一些人用力推翻了这座3.4米高的邦联将军艾伯特·派克雕像。当地警察站在附近观看。星期天，在北卡罗来纳州拉利市， 当局收拾了抗议者星期五留下的残局，将那个邦联雕像从基座上拆除时，人们为之欢呼。在乔治亚州的迪凯特，活动人士欢呼雀跃，他们说十方尖碑表示对白人至上的致敬，因此一位法官下令拆除。
It's a people's victory. All of our young people from Decatur High School, they made this happen. All of these organizers, everybody came together.
上周末在美国奥克拉荷马的一次集会上，美国总统特朗普谈到了拆除南方邦联士兵的雕像并污损了纪念碑的活动分子。
The unhinged left-wing mob is trying to vandalize our history, desecrate our monuments, our beautiful monuments.
上周四，来自密苏里州的共和党国会参议员罗伊·布朗特阻止参议院通过民主党参议员科里·布克和查尔斯·舒默提出的从美国国会大厦撤走邦联雕像的提案。
The continued presence of these statues in the halls is an affront to African Americans and the ideals of our nation.
但是布朗特表示反对，他指出国会已经与各州达成协议，并且他希望留时间考虑在他主持的规则委员会举行听证会。
I think that today's action would violate our agreements with the state.
美国国会大厦雕像大厅收藏的人物雕像当中，至少有12座是纪念在1860年代美国南北战争期间效忠南方邦联的人物。美国之音迪亚洛报道。
新冠病毒大流行的新常态中，视频会议已经独领风骚，不过人们依然可能受到干扰。在这个时候，虚拟现实技术提供了另外一种选择。
如果你曾经参加过这样的电话会议，你可能有过人们同时发言的经历。然后呢，还有这种情况。
If someone's dog comes into it or someone stops paying attention,
那么你可能会错过别人在说什么。瑞安·奥滕斯上的虚拟现实，也就是 VR 在线商务课，消除了视频电话会议打岔分神的困扰。
I can't see my phone. I can't see an email pop up. So I'm fully focused on a great learning environment.
帕格尼虚拟现实公司通过他们的奇美拉项目，创造出奥斯腾在坦普大学课堂上的虚拟现实经验。学生以化身出现在虚拟课堂，而老师则化身或以直播或预录的真人录像出现。
This still gets the feeling of.Being a community, our sound is positional. So if that person spoke and they were to my left, I knew to look to the left and I would see them.
随着虚拟现实硬件的改进，手机和手持控制器得以通过摄像头和传感器追踪头部和手部的动作。当参与者的手在现实世界中移动，他们化身的手也会跟着动作。随着需求的增加，最大的挑战是要在大流行病的封锁期间买到虚拟现实耳机。随着工厂重新开始生产耳机
，hardware availability a lot of it is where the hardware is manufactured. So a point being made that a lot of this is coming from China.
奥滕斯警告说，任何想要尝试虚拟现实会议的人，每次沉浸在沉重的耳机里的时间都不应超过1小时。
Usually the dizziness and headaches would start towards the last 5 to 10 minutes. I could tell.It was right around the time. It was almost like my body's like I'm done.
虚拟现实的其他应用包括礼拜仪式和娱乐活动。美国之音记者李爱玲报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。